live. Yeah, yeah, we going live. Hey, hey, we going live. Yeah, yeah, we going live. Yeah, yeah, we going. Yeah, 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 we going. Yeah, 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 we going live. From the 50-yard line, we going live. From the 50-yard line, we going live.
Hello, beautiful people. I am Jared, the football genius Burgess, and we got family with us today.
Yes, indeed.
Cole, how you doing, man?
Hey, man, I'm good. We blessed, man.
That's it.
It's a beautiful day, you know. Ready to talk the game and have some fun, man, as we always do, right?
That's it. That's it, man. You know. You guys are seeing Cord today instead of Stephanie because Stephanie is traveling. She had to take care of some family business. So, yeah. Those of you out there who hear our voice, please keep her and her family lifted up in prayer. But let's go ahead, bro. Let's go ahead and dive into this. Who's really right? Because I'm sure that. When you saw this, you probably were just as confused as I was. But the Minnesota Timberwolves had a celebration after winning their play-in game the other day.
Yes, they did.
I think most of the people sitting at home felt like this celebration was a bit over the top. So one of the things to note is that it's been 28 years since their last playoff game.
It's a long time.
It's a very long time. So,
that's when what KG was there, right?
Man, yeah. Wow.
Think about it.
Why? I'm that old?
We are.
We're that old?
We're there. We are there.
Thank you for doing that to me, Cord.
I'm with you. Yeah, you but
oh man,
so
do you think it was over the top? That's how who's really right, guys. Was it over the top?
Being a competitor and understanding that some teams have a like a black cloud over them, and a lot of players carry a lot of emotions too, and I mean. I know the stir of it was Bell.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And Bell plays with a lot of emotions, and he wears his heart on his sleeve. Mm-hmm. And also, too, I mean, Bev, you know, felt that the Clippers, you know, how they did him on the way out was something. So that with him being a vet in the locker room. Mm-hmm. And understanding how, like, I've been on a team where a vet came in and kind of had a personal vendetta against, you know, a former team and can get the rest of the team to kind of hop on and be amped up and hype. And to know that playoffs are on the line.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hey, man, I'm here for it. I'm here for it.
I'm going to tell you. Because I think if Stephanie was here, she would have said this was over the top, right? She would have said this was over the top. And as much as I want to argue that point, because Pat Bev's reaction was over the top, but I understand it. Like you said, like when a organization has that cloud over their head, and they do something like that. And when you're the emotional leader like Pat Bev is, being able to celebrate something like that in whatever fashion you decide to, you know what I'm saying? It's big, it's huge.
It's huge.
And so it was over the top, but I wasn't mad at it.
I wasn't mad at it. I wouldn't either. You know, I can hear a few people saying, oh, well, act like you're used to winning, blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's cool, but like you say, when an organization has not won in that many years.
They ain't used to winning.
They ain't used to winning, you know? So, you know, it's just a part of it. And, Yeah. People, you gotta understand, man. People, you put in a lot of work, a lot of work, and a lot of us know that. You know, once the season is over with, you pulling out that trash bag if you ain't going to the playoffs. You planning your vacation trip with your family. You know, all that stuff. You head home. You head home early. You're going to watch the playoff games. You're going to be sitting there thinking about the what ifs, the could ifs, the but, all that kind of stuff. So I get it, man. It's a lot of work that goes into it. And it's extremely hard to have a winning season as much as people think that it's just so easy, right?
Right.
And it's also extremely hard to win a championship. And it's hard to get to the playoffs. It's just hard in general. These are all people that are the top tier of this sport, you know?
Right.
So, hey, man, leave it all out there and keep that same energy. And I hope that energy flows, you know, through. Even though they facing my boy Ja, I feel like this play is going to be dope, man, between Ja and Anthony Edwards.
I'm gonna say the only thing that I don't want to see happen, and I know that Pat Bev has a tendency to do this, is that in his attempts to get under the skin of the opponents, he borderlines on a little bit of dirty play. And I want him to be himself, but I just don't want him to do that, because I don't know if you saw a few months ago where I think he pushed Ja Morant.
Yeah.
Well, he did something, but he did it, and it looked like, oh, man, like, this might be an injury. And so I don't want to see that. I don't want to see him do something where he's going to take up somebody out or something like that, and it takes away from the competitive nature of the series.
Right. What's interesting, though, is when I think back, like, there's a guy like that on every team. He's I don't want to call it the bully, but we call him the enforcer. Kind of
sorcerer. Yes.
You know that he's gonna do something, or he's gonna be known as that guy on everything. Like, all right, you gotta watch when you're around him, but it's a part of the game. It's the psychological part of the game, you know. So, I'm excited to see how that series is gonna play out for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Yep. You guys, let us know who's really right, even though. Pretty much Court and I kind of agree.
This is kind of unfair because we usually do agree on
But just so you know, I'm almost certain, and I'll let her explain for herself next week. I'm almost certain that Stephanie felt like this was over the top.
Absolutely.
That they needed to act like they've been there before. I'm almost certain.
I'm with you on that one too.
So you guys let us know who's really right. Was it over the top? And they need to act like they've been there before, or do you understand where they were coming from?
Yeah.
All right, man. So the San Francisco Giants first base coach, real good topics. I do this a lot. I don't know how I just start talking about a topic and don't introduce the segment.
Just roll into it.
Just roll right into it. But this is real good topics, guys. And Giants first base coach, Anton Richardson was tossed after confronting Padres third base coach Mike Schlitt. After the game, he shared why he did it. He stated that the undertones of racism in the comment where he said, you need to control that MF.
Mm.
So in reading into this story, it's one of those stories where if you just hear it, you just hear the headline, you don't really get like kind of the context of, you know, why Anton Richardson would have confronted Mike Schlitt or Mike Shield. But when you read it and you see that, you know, there was a little bit of, you know, what he felt, there was a little bit of a racial undertone to the way that he said what he said. You think like, you feel like, you know how it happens in the moment, something said, and it's like, if it was read on paper, somebody, you would think that I'm overreacting. But to hear it in real time, you know, do you feel like that's something that, you know, reacting to like that, his reaction was warranted?
Man, one thing about sports, man, sports has a tendency to bring out the ego in all. You got to have some form of an ego. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I think we're just in a time period right now where people, I mean, you just don't know, man. Something can set somebody off as simple as that. But also, too, you know, considering the things that you may hear in the locker room, the things you may be hearing through your own organization and how people talk to each other. I mean, I can understand usually at some point it's something that trips a person off. And sometimes, like you said, we don't even know. It can be doing warm-up, something is said. It could be, there's a carousel from players. So sometimes, you know, comments can be made in meeting rooms, and then a player gets over to another team and come to find. It's just a lot of things that goes into it, you know, and it's a lot of ego that's thrown around. It's a lot of things. And like you say, in the heat of the battle,
yeah,
sometimes we can take things and it can come off, and somebody cannot mean it in that way, but it can come off that way because it's you're in competition.
Right.
You know, so it's hard to say, and then, you know, sometimes it's how people say stuff. It's just, right, man, it's crazy. Like I say, it's you wouldn't be playing or coaching the sport off of ego. You know, it's all off of ego and who you are, you know? So I feel that sometimes it can be, some stuff is just like, ah, it's harmless, and then sometimes you're like, whoa, you really been feeling this way.
Right, yeah.
You know,
you said it with your chest.
Yeah. So, you know, it's I think, and then sometimes, like you say, as men, it's like, man, who do you think you're talking to?
Yeah.
You know, because at the end of the day, we're all grown men.
Exactly.
So I feel like it's, you know, it happens a lot. And, you know, sometimes they make headlines, sometimes they don't. But, man, it's tough.
Yeah.
How you feel about it?
Man, it's very hard because, like, I was one of those players where, like, it wasn't much that you could say to me to kind of get me to act out of character, even if it was something racial or something, you know.
Right.
You would have to actually know me to actually pull one of those buttons.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, part of it is like you understand. It's like, so if somebody says something and they press the right button, they're going to get the right reaction.
Right.
But you also, and I know that these were coaches or managers, you also don't want to give someone the power to make you react.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And even if it is something that, you know, especially not in the moment, like, because the coach was tossed, you know, was tossed from the game. And so you affect the game by allowing your emotions to get you out of character.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, if you were that upset about it, and I know that things happen in the moment, if you were that upset about it, go have a conversation with him after the game.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, don't do something that's going to affect your team's standing during the game.
Because
then he won. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I totally agree. And I think, you know, just considering too, I don't know how impactful it is for baseball with the
coach.
It seems like a laid back sport.
It is,
you know, it just seems so laid back, and you know, majority of the time they spend the coaches or the managers spend their time with their arms folded, sitting there chewing So I feel like, you know, something's like, this might be a little bit deeper than, you know, what we know. Some words may have been exchanged prior to this, or, you know, who knows, but I 100% agree. 100% agree.
Yeah. All right, bro. Let's go ahead and switch subjects. And this one's a difficult one to talk about.
Yeah.
Because of everything surrounding it, because you can't talk about, you know, the untimely death of Dwayne Haskins without mentioning how tone deaf, how I can't even think of the word, but you think about Gil Brandt and Adam Schefter's, you know, remarks regarding Dwayne Haskins' death, and it's like, you really see that even sports reporters, do not see these people as human.
At all. I was just about, they dehumanize us as athletes, you know. It's like the sport, you know, the organization, the fan base supersedes the human being.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And that's the sad and unfortunate part about this is because you become more of an entity than you become a person.
Right.
You know, and it's sad, man, like to see those comments. You know, that it like you said, it's sad, you know, but a light in it was to see the players, you know, come in and really speak out, you know, and, you know, let it,
a lot
let
of it.
Yeah, you know, I seen quite a few guys that I know, you know, reach out and say some things and take up for them. It's just like I said, it's very unfortunate that, you know, the human, you know, the person that's playing the position or playing for this team, you know, like you say, the fan base or, you know, the media, you know, or even sometimes the organization can just look at that person as an entity and is like, how are we talking about, you know, his career versus, like you say, who he is as a person, you know, a husband, a wife, you know, a husband,
right.
A father, you know, a brother, a son, like, right. Come on, you know, and to lose his life the way he did. I mean, come on, man. Like that's just, it's just insensitive, you know?
And a lot of it's still shrouded in mystery. You know, like you have a family who's grieving and these news outlets and these media personalities are so quick to break the story. It's like, you wonder if, if they were able to get a call from the proper authorities about what happened before seeing Adam Schefter's tweet.
Right. Yeah, everybody wants to be the first to break the story.
Right.
And what's interesting is because when these things happen, we've become so kind of like conditioned to it, you kind of start going looking to see, all right, where is this credible? Or, you know, is it really true? You know, and like you said, it's unfortunate, man. But I, I'm sending condolences to the family, you know, his wife, you know, his I think he had kids, right?
I think he had at least one. I think he had
one. Yeah. But you know, his they deserve that. And
yeah,
you know, it's like you start talking, like you said, before the family can even just grieve, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but I, you know, like you said, condolences to his family, man. You know, I pray for peace for you guys. I hate that you had to endure some of the things that you had to endure on top of the death of your loved one, Dwayne Haskins, you know, over the last couple of days regarding, you know, just the insensitivity of people. But yeah, man, this was a sad one, man. And I pray that they get closure and peace, man, because, you know, this one, like I said, is still shrouded in the mystery.
Right. Right.
All right, so this one is one that I'm sure Stephanie put on here because she knows that I don't want to talk about it. As a Washington football team fan, I refuse to call them the other name that they decided to name themselves. As a Washington football team fan, I think this story, just for me, should be the nail in the coffin, proverbially, for Dan Snyder.
Okay.
Allegedly, he has allegedly defrauded the NFL out of money that is owed, basically the profit and revenue sharing that the NFL teams do based off of ticket sales. He allegedly had two sets of books and made the decision that he was going to keep all the money instead of, well, not all of it, but keep a good portion of the money and tell the NFL that he was making something different. I know this is, you know, this part of it is like kind of a 50,000 foot view type of thing.
Right.
But nothing I've ever heard in the history of the NFL, I've never heard anybody or any owner doing anything like this. Like, what do you think about this?
Would it be wrong for me to say that I'm not surprised?
Yeah.
At, nothing seems to amaze me when it comes to business and how things are done these days.
Yeah.
You know, especially when it comes to owners. I mean, what more was it to gain from it? Like, you know, it's just so many questions that you ask, right? That you don't necessarily understand in the heat of it. But nothing seems to amaze me anymore when it comes to stuff. And that the team has had, they've had some quite a few things kind of come through the pipelines, you know? So it's like, are you a reflection of your leadership?
Attitude reflect leadership.
So, you know, that's yeah. It doesn't shock me at all. It doesn't shock me. And then I'm pretty sure, like in anything, there was another owner somewhere.
Oh yeah,
that's been doing this.
I'm sure.
That,
yeah,
that taught him, and it'll come out sooner or later.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that, you know, on Dan Snyder's way out the door, if he is forced out as owner, which he probably will be, he's going to burn down the Carter. He's snitching. He telling everybody getting it. He going to release them emails. You know what I'm saying? So
if they haven't already been released.
This is true.
If they haven't already been released.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's time for him to go. He's just done too much. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? All right, bro. We got some XFL coaching hires.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'm really glad, because I felt like before the pandemic, the XFL was kind of starting to gain a little bit of steam.
Mm-hmm,
but before the pandemic, like, you know, shout out to Pep Hamilton, Howard alum, who he was coaching, if I'm not mistaken, he was coaching the team in DC during that time. But the pandemic happened and the league had to fold. But if you guys remember, The Rock ended up buying the league a couple of years ago.
Correct.
A little bit after the league folded, and now they're trying to reactivate it and get it going again. And so some of these NFL coaching hires have some names that some of you should be familiar with.
Some of your favorites.
Yeah. Looks like Wade Phillips is a hire.
Mm-hmm.
Former Cowboy coach, and I believe he coached the San Diego Chargers at the time.
Yeah, Wade's been around.
Yeah, he's coached plenty of places.
He's been around the league, yeah.
Jim Haslett, former Saints coach.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Stoops.
Mm.
Hines Ward,
we all know that one.
And Rod Woodson,
yep.
Look, two Steelers. Yep. Hines Ward and Rod Woodson. When you saw this, with some of the coaching hires, what was the first thing you thought?
Credibility.
Yeah.
Bring in some names. Mm-hmm. You know, bring in some names that we are familiar with, break off an opportunity for some of these guys to get some coaching, you know, time up under the belt, you know, but also, like you said, bring in some names of some people that we know and love from the NFL to be able to come in and keep that same standard, to be able to keep that same thing going, so that the level of play and the level of coaching isn't a drop off. And we said it was just hiring people, right?
Right.
So I think that plays a huge play. I think Wade was also in Denver.
Yes.
Wade was in Denver. So yeah, I think that it's a great thing, you know, especially like you said, you know, being a player that played in the UFL and being able to play up under a coach myself that was, you know, had a name, and to know that I'm playing for a coach that had credibility in the NFL as well. So that means right. he's, you know, he can make some calls, you know.
Things happen.
You know, he's got some pull and he's been in the league. So, you know, and the same thing for the rest of these guys, you know, be able to have credible coaches that can say, hey, you know, I've coached, you know, in the NFL. I've been there long enough to know, okay, you know, Jared's a good player. Hey, coach, give him a real shot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I love that for the XFL.
Definitely, definitely. Now, the first thing, I definitely thought credibility, right? Mm-hmm. First thing I thought, though, is what did the owners of the XFL have to give up in order to get coaches mm-hmm. like these? Like, did they give up equity in the league in order to get these coaches? Because I can't imagine that you would pay them what they're worth, you know. But at the same time, I guess those coaches aren't coaches who, I mean, mine is Rod Woodson and Hines Ward, even mm-hmm. though Hines Ward has coached in the NFL.
Yeah.
But someone like a Wade Phillips and a Jim Haslett, you know, I know that they haven't done a lot of coaching, or at least as a head coach.
As of late. Yeah.
So, you know, maybe it was let me just take this opportunity. But I'm just thinking, like, in my mind, if I have that type of name, am I just going to say, all right, I'll accept, say, $100,000 when, you know, I'm a multi-million-dollar coach? Or am I going to go to the league and say, hey, let me get some equity in this?
Well, as we know, coaches are always well paid, right?
Yeah.
Which is interesting because some of the most highest paid coaches are college football coaches.
Yeah.
But I think, too, when you look at it from this standpoint, coaches really can coach for the enjoyment of the game because it's typically less politics.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think a lot of these coaches have made enough money where it's like they're really doing it for the love of the game. In my opinion, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Nah, I can see that. You know what I'm saying? My first thought is always like, all right, now what's the business involved here?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And so I'm just excited to see that, you know, not that leagues will necessarily be able to rival the NFL, but that, you know, there are more opportunities for players to play football post their college career.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, I don't think that the objective is for that league to rival because it's in the spring, correct?
Right.
Yeah, I think it's an opportunity, like I said, for guys to get those guys who might, you know, have been on the bubble or stuff to just be in game shape, you know, be able to collect a couple, you know, a little bit of coinage and get some more exposure, you know, aside from going to play in Canada and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Real roll call.
Let's do it.
All right. Now, I know that you know how this works, right? So let me get my timer out. I'm going to do a minute, and both of us will get 30 seconds. And you'll definitely have the floor first. But we'll start off with the first topic. Is the NBA play-in game, do you think it's creating a lot of buzz, and is it a good look for the NBA? And go.
All right, the NBA play-in games, I feel like it's creating a good buzz because it gives that playoff style basketball before the playoffs, but it gives those teams that are on the bubble an opportunity to, you know, really compete at a high level right before, and it creates that competition. So I was excited to see the Hawks, you know, and Charlotte mm-hmm. and all those games. So I think, you know, it creates another level of competition.
Yeah. Now, I'm with you. I think one, it creates another level of competition, but it also deters, like, certain teams that are close and on the bubble. It deters them from trying to tank and, you know what I'm saying, like, go and get the best player in the draft. Like, you know, you still have an opportunity, 9 and 10, and even with a lot of these teams, 11 and 12, because, honestly, the Lakers could have shut it down a while ago, you know, right. But they were still in the mix. All right, look, we did that before a minute.
Good.
All right, the next one. T.O. is going to play in this fan-controlled football league, and he's trying to recruit Colin Kaepernick to do so. Do you think this is a good idea for either of you? Go.
T.O. is playing for the love of the game, so I 100% get it. Cap has not played football in a while. I think any opportunity – I take that back. I don't think that any opportunity
should be taken.
But I think that if he has the opportunity to play competitively, if it's in the XFL or the CFL, I've seen this fan control league. One of my homeboys is playing for it. He's 35. Okay. So, you know, if you still got a love for the game and want to play and stuff like that, I feel like it's a good opportunity for those type of guys. I don't necessarily know if it's a good opportunity for Cap, though.
Okay. And that was my whole point about it. I was like, all right. XFL,
yes,
and USFL, certainly Canada. And this isn't any disrespect to the Fan Control Football League, but I just feel like those are names that could go play in those leagues, you know. And so, yeah.
How old is he?
40, I think he's 45, 46. You know what? Let's find out for certain, because I do this all the time, and sometimes I be dead wrong. Terrell Owens is 48.
Oh.
December 7th, 1973. So he'll be 49 this year.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie, man still looks good.
He's still in some shape. Right.
Go for it.
All right. So the Lakers season was a failure, but not according to LeBron. And react.
I don't know about this. A lot of us thought that this was, you know, off the build of this team, the names that were coming that expected big things. So I disagree. I understand his optimism and I love the positivity, but I disagree.
Yeah, I 100% disagree as well. I think one of the things that he's trying to say is that because it's not a failure because they didn't have all of their pieces together to kind of mesh and gel. And so, you know, it would be different if AD played the entire season
mm-hmm.
and they were able to gel and you'd be able to see what they were. I think after looking at them, even though they didn't play a whole bunch of games together, like they are what they are. And I think that Russell Westbrook has to go.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Feel good final thought. All right. So this story about Alyssa Nacken, who is an assistant coach for the San Francisco Giants. Mm-hmm. She made history as the first woman to coach in a Major League Baseball game. And so, honestly, when I heard the story, I didn't even know that, you know, women had started to kind of break into the MLB. Now, we've seen it with women in the NBA, and we've seen it with women in
the NFL.
But this is the first time I've heard about, you know, women breaking into the MLB. And so when you heard this story, you know, what was your thought? Because I know for me, you know, I haven't seen or it isn't like huge a women's softball league, right? But I have seen women play and be good in baseball. Right. So it kind of just makes sense to me, you know what I'm saying, that this would be a natural occurrence, especially after we're seeing what's happened in other leagues.
Yeah. I think it's interesting, you know, that it's taking this long, like you said, because we don't really have anything in regards to professional, which is interesting because, I mean, yeah, that's very interesting. But, yeah, it's interesting that it's been that after, you know, we've had this type of movement, you know, for football and for basketball, you know, so, you know, hats off to them, you know, finally making the move and stuff like that. And it's just great to see, you know, the opportunity for, you know, the women to break in and really give their expertise and things like that they observe and they're able to see, you know, along with the game. So hats off to you know, them, and it's just opportunity for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely, definitely good look for her. You know what I'm saying? And now that we see that she's kind of broken through the door, we'll start to see a lot more, I'm sure.
A lot more, 100%. Yep.
Yeah. All right, show picks. Cord, tell everybody what you're watching. Now, I know what you're about to say. I know what you're about to say.
What am I about to say?
I don't watch a whole bunch of TV, but let us know something you're either listening to, watching.
I watch. I mean, I got some shows that I watch.
Okay, okay.
Atlanta started back up, so yes. I've been watching Atlanta.
Okay.
Snowfall.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So those two I've been tuned into weekly. Oh, shout out to my boy Patrick Walker, who's on the Apple TV show with I always mess it up. Jesus, with Samuel Jackson. Samuel Jackson's playing a guy. He's playing a Polygamy Gray, I think is what it's called.
Okay.
But yeah, that's another one too. It's on Apple TV.
Somebody told me I need to go ahead and get Apple TV.
Yeah.
Man, listen, you know, I'm gonna have to ask in advance for you not to judge me for this, right?
Yeah, well.
I'm gonna have to ask in advance for you not to judge me for this, but
no, I won't. What you got for
me? I've been watching this series probably since 2008, 2009. You know, probably the season after it came out. And that's only because of my affinity for the city of Atlanta.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Okay.
Yeah, so I didn't get to see season 13. And let me be clear. I'm a huge fan of Candy Burris, the businesswoman.
I knew that. Okay. I felt
you know what I'm saying? You know, not only am I watching that show now, but I'm also watching the Old Lady Gang show. You know what I'm saying?
Which my boy is on there.
Huh?
My boy Brandon is on there.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's your people?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
I haven't checked it out yet.
Nah, it's a good show, man. And I love it, man. I love to, like, I've always been a big fan of, since I've, like, known about it, a big fan of Candy's, like, you know, business mind, where she's like, you know, she'll take something that, you know, somebody said about her and she'll flip it and turn it into a moneymaker. That whole Old Lady Gang was like a joke about her mom and her aunts. She turned it into a profitable restaurant. You know what I'm saying? And there's nothing I can do but take my head off and salute that. And so, you know, I watched that show because
of rice and gravy, boy.
Huh?
I said, they got some good rice and gravy, man.
Man, listen, that mac and cheese. You know, there isn't much that I've eaten there that I didn't like.
Yeah, I whenever I go, I have the salmon, that honey glazed salmon.
Honey glazed salmon, yep.
Yeah, with rice and gravy, which is, it has no type of, I don't even know. It don't even sound right saying it together, but that's what I get.
Yeah. No, but look, listen. And the thing is, well, the honey glazed salmon, like, is good by itself. But if you get a little bit of that gravy on that salmon, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's all types of special.
Okay. All right.
Now, it's not one of those things where you drench it in the gravy.
Right, just a little. I'm with
it on there. You're like, oh, hold on. This is a special little combination right here.
Okay. I'm going to have to try that then. Okay. I'm with that. Okay.
Yeah, so... those are the two that I've been paying, you know. I mean, I'm watching all the stuff that you're watching, though, like Atlanta, Abbott Elementary, Snowfall. That's my show. I love Abbott Elementary.
Abbott, I'm so happy for her, man.
Me too, man. Me too.
I'm so happy for her.
Shout out to Quinta Brunson.
Yeah, man. That is dope. Like,
yeah.
And I hope that it gets, you know, the syndication and gets to that point. How, like, The Office and the rest of those, because that's really what it is. It's like, like the elementary school version of The Office.
Yeah,
which is dope. All the young Black kids that are able to be on there, man.
Yeah,
it's dope, man. I love it. Yeah. I love it. Yeah.
Me too. I'm a huge fan of that show. But Cole, we at the end, man. We at the end of, what is this, episode 156?
Y'all rolling, man.
Yeah, I'm about to say, it's a lot of them. It's a lot of them.
Y'all rolling.
Let everybody know where they can get in touch with you, man.
Man, you can follow me at CPTWO number 9 on Instagram, Core Parks on Facebook, Core Parks 26 on Twitter. I very rarely use that. I don't even know what made me just say that. But there he is, man. Hey, as always, man, stepping in for Steph.
Yeah,
if you know, I'm just a fill-in player.
You're six man off the bench.
I'm like Lou Will, baby. Lemon Pepper Lou, man.
Stay away from Magic City.
Hey, man. Get them wings, baby.
Nah, man, listen, man. We truly appreciate you, man. I think that, you know, Stephanie and I were planning to record today, and so she hit you up last night because I was stuck in my chess class that I was teaching. And man, you know, you ain't even hesitate, man. So we truly appreciate you, bro. We truly do.
Absolutely, I'm here. Like you say, six man.
Take me in, go.
I'm ready to play. Put me in, man. Nah, you know, I love y'all. Appreciate y'all. Very proud of y'all for everything that y'all are doing.
Thank you.
Say the support for the podcast, but also off the podcast. You know, y'all are fans.
Yeah. Indeed. All right, guys. If you want to hit us up, you could definitely reach out to our email address, field2therealpodcast@gmail.com. On Twitter, and I tweet every once in a while. @field2therealp1. On IG, @field2therealpodcast. And right there above Corey's head, Field to the Real Podcast on Facebook and YouTube. You go search it, you'll find it. You'll see all of our videos, and it'll keep you up to date with what we got going on and, you know, our shows. But we won't hold you any longer. We out.
We out.
Peace.
Peace.
Now put the cameras on me, 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 put the cameras on me.